Welcome back to the Carnivore Yogi Podcast. This is a special bonus episode with my friends Carrie and Corey. Now, Carrie is known as Carrie B. Wellness. She is a reformed clinical nutritionist, expert in circadian biology and quantum physics. Corey is also known as Dr. Corey Gasvini. They have both been on the show several times, so I'm going to try to put in the show notes for you guys the episodes that they have both been on. But in this chat, we talk all about cold therapy, which has definitely been a rabbit hole that I have been down myself. And I'm so on fire about it. And Carrie and Corey are just such wonderful experts on the topic, talk so eloquently, and allow this information to just truly make sense. So I hope you guys will enjoy it. Now, I will add that it's my fault. I should have been putting my microphone on mute the whole time when I was doing this Instagram live, but I didn't figure it out until about 10 minutes in. So there's a couple places there in the very beginning where the audio could be a little bit better, where you may not understand it as well, but the information in this episode is just so valuable that I wanted to just go ahead and include it without trying to chop it out at all. So I hope you enjoy it. And there is going to be a course that Carrie and Corey are doing in the beginning of January. I am taking this course, even though I have just finished a 6-week certification to be a quantum health coach. I want to keep learning. And these guys are people to learn from 100%. So I'm going to put information on their course in the show notes for you guys as well. If you're interested in this stuff, or if you just have a chronic health condition that you have tried everything on, this is really going to be the course for you. I'm so excited about taking it. I just love both of these people, and I love sharing this information with you guys. Speaking of which, if you find this episode helpful, please take a screenshot, share it out on social media, tag me, tag Carrie, tag Corey. We would all love to hear from you, especially if you enjoyed it. I would also love it if you head on over to Apple, leave me up to a 5-star review. It helps to get the podcast out to more people so that they can get this information. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, listening to today's bonus episode, and I'll be back next week with another one. Talk to you soon. Enjoy the episode. Corey, how's it going?
What's up, Sarah? How are you?
I'm good. I'm at a park. My husband decided to have the gutters cleaned. So I couldn't be in the house or outside. So hopefully our connection's good.
Looks good to me.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw here. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm taking my lunch break right now. I have patients to get back to after this. Nevertheless, don't get it twisted. I'm still on hardwired internet. So I'm not playing around with a Wi-Fi or a cell tower like most people are right now.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get Carrie on here and get through these questions here. I know we're going to talk about cold thermogenesis today.
There we go. Carrie asked to join, so let me add her on. Yeah, I've got the questions I sent you guys both about cold thermogenesis.
Yeah, Carrie.
There's
and
Carrie.
Course that starts on January the 8th. And right now, we are allowing for early registers to get a significant discount on the course. And I just want to say, for people that think that this 6-week-long course is nothing but teaching sunshine and ketosis, that doesn't even begin to touch the basis of where we're really trying to go with this. So I hope people understand that Darren has done a ton of self-driven research outside of our own education. And luckily, we've been able to put it and form it into a method that we can teach it to other people so that they can not only apply the information, but they can understand the information. And we are at the cusp of the information age right now. That's where we're at, right? It's a technological advancement. So we want to make sure that it's not just something that people do, it's something that they understand so that they can begin to realize how their environment can really shape their own.
Yeah, and that's selfishly kind of why I also wanted to do this, because I'm doing cold therapy and I'm really jazzed up about it and excited. But you guys have been so helpful to me in the last number of months that I've had the pleasure of getting to know you, that it was really important that I really make sure my audience knows the amazing course that you're going to be doing in January. I'm going to be trying my best to join in as well. So you guys, please go to their pages, links in their bio. If you really want to understand quantum physics, circadian biology, how this relates to your overall health, and you can really transform rather quickly with this information. And it's just invaluable. It's way beyond sunshine and ketosis. It's, yeah. You guys are the experts, so I'm super excited to have you here and chat today. So, yay, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, how's it going?
So I know we're both, you guys are both kind of on time crunches between clients and busy stuff. So let's just jump right in to the topic, yes, and you guys can kind of go back and forth. But the first question would be, what are some of the universal benefits of cold therapy, regardless of your haplotype? And we can talk about haplotype hopefully later, we get to that, but just anybody, regardless of, you know, their ancestral heritage, what are some of the benefits of cold therapy?
Hey, Corey, I'll let you do haplotype. Is that cool? I'll jump in on this one.
Okay, fine.
And then obviously add on to it if you want to. Okay, so here's the deal, right? There is something called a haplotype that I'll let Corey go into, but cold therapy has universal benefits for people. But that being said, everything we recommend, you have to take into consideration your unique situation. So just because we're saying that it has all these benefits, that's where people have to have their own N equals one experiment when they're doing these things. So that being said, I wanted to let I think it's very important to recognize that where you live may depend upon how cold adapted you need to be. So being in Michigan, I try to get cold adapted, and I notice, and the benefits come from exposure to the cold, whether it's ambient air, it can be a cold plunge, it can be a shower, that increases the production of a neurochemical called norepinephrine. And that norepinephrine is really responsible for being alert and focused. So it's the best thing for me to do if I have, you know, an hour of really intense work that I need to do. I make sure that I get cold in any way, shape, or form. We can talk about the different methods, but being cold will improve that alertness and that focus because of the norepinephrine. That norepinephrine increase also stimulates the production or the activation of something called brown adipose tissue, which we can also go into. You know, that's how the body actually can burn a little bit of fat. And then it also allows for the brain to just prune house, trim house, right? When norepinephrine is stimulated in the brain, it increases something called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. I think I saw a BDNF friend join the group today. and so what that does, that's like miracle grow for the brain. It takes the synapses and the connections in the brain that are important and strengthens them. And then the ones that we need to get rid of, it prunes them. So it has so many benefits regardless of what our haplotype is. And that's just a couple. Then you talk about inflammation, reactive oxygen species. There are so many ways that we can use cold to support total body health.
Agree. Corey, do you have anything to add to that before we talk haplotype a little bit later?
Yeah, I wish we could just let Corey keep going. Every time that Corey starts talking, I start and knows what he's talking about. I'll tell you, last night it was 35 degrees here in Tallahassee where I am, which a lot of people would say is no big deal. But I jumped in my neighbor's pool, which was 52 degrees, spent about 20 minutes in there. Ooh. And I wish I would have taken photographs or actually documented this, because what I can tell you is when I went to sleep, I was 162 pounds. When I woke up, I was 158 pounds.
Wow.
And I wish that I was making that up, because it astonished me. And I'm starting to think maybe I should try to up the game, and maybe I could probably win the world record for amount of weight lost in a 24-hour period, especially if I were to dehydrate myself. Gary mentioned something called brown adipose tissue. Well, the reason I was able to burn so much of that fat so quickly is because I jumped into the pool while I was in a fasted state, and I did not eat after I got out of the pool, right? And I went to sleep. I spent about, say, 11 hours in complete darkness before I got up for the sunrise. So what's the difference between brown adipose tissue and white adipose tissue, right? White adipose tissue is what most people have a lot of on their body, right? And we know that you can't actually burn the white adipose tissue cells. You actually can shrink them down and they're very, very difficult to actually get rid of as cells, right? So as we get older in our lifespan, we accumulate more and more white adipose tissue cells very easily, right? Our bodies are always, always trying to get fat, right? Because evolutionarily, achieving a proper nutrient density to be able to survive the wintertime was humans' biggest struggle to survive, starvation, right? So accumulating any extra weight you can is an evolutionary advantage. White adipose tissue doesn't burn as easily, but brown adipose tissue, when you expose yourself to cold, can be incinerated and turned into free heat, right? And because I've accumulated a ton of brown adipose tissue over the last couple of months in this fall, as we're going in toward winter in the next 20 days, I've slingshotted my metabolic ability to be able to burn fat like that.
That's, yeah, that's perfect. So the brown adipose tissue is called brown adipose tissue. We can call it brown fat, white fat, if that's more simplistic. White fat, actually, it increases size, right? So it's the pinchable fat, that's the subcutaneous fat. It's the fat that's between the organs, the visceral fat, that's white adipose tissue. Brown fat, it doesn't actually increase the size of the cell. It doesn't store energy. It's called brown because it's fat cells that are just packed with mitochondria. And mitochondria just so happen to have like a brownish reddish color. And like Corey was saying, that you can actually activate and turn on that brown adipose tissue in cold exposure. The mitochondria aren't stupid. They're not just going to burn fat for no reason, right? As Corey said, we want to hold on to that just in case there was a period where we weren't exposed to external nutrients. We'd have to burn our own fuel stores. So that brown adipose tissue senses the cold and says, oh, okay, I am going to slow down making ATP and water, which was something that I typically make all the time. And instead, I'm going to uncouple from that production and make extra heat for Corey so that he doesn't die of hypothermia. But in the process of doing that, the way the brown mitochondria do that is they take the white fat from storage. They suck out the white fat droplets from storage. So they suck out pinchable fat, and they then start to generate heat from that stored body fat.
That's so fascinating. And, you know, I've been cold plunging every day for the last 3 weeks. I'm a little addicted to it. But my appetite, I have been so much more hungry. Like, and whenever I eat, it's like it burns through my body so quickly. I'm like, wow, that just doesn't even make sense. But, I mean, it does now that you guys explain it that way. But I can feel the metabolic benefits of doing the cold therapy. I have energy. I feel more clear. It's just, I love it. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And not just to mention those things. I mean, there are so many amazing studies that just also show a longevity increase. So that cold exposure turns on so many longevity genes, like FOXO3, just ones that are meant to then just promote us living healthier longer. And so the coolest research that I read is about mice that live in a colder climate or fruit flies that live in a colder climate. They increase their lifespan in a crazy amount. Now, we can't necessarily translate that one-to-one to humans, but something about being in the cold helps to slow down the aging process.
Good point.
That's so fascinating. And so I guess, unless Corey, you have anything else to add in, I wanted to like define cold therapy because there's so many different ways people can do it. I mentioned I'm plunging. Corey plunged last night. What is like gold standard and where can people start?
I'll always let Corey do gold standard.
Yeah, Corey's the gold standard guy.
Okay, I'm fine with it. Cool, thank you guys. So yeah, cold exposure is exposing yourself to any temperatures real below 98 degrees. And a lot of people will get on here. I saw someone made a comment earlier that cold exposure really wore them out. Well, that tells me that you're going too hard with it at first, right? Because you have to adapt yourself to be able to tolerate these exposures, right? And so if you're in water, anything that's under 98 degrees is truly cold exposure, but the colder, the better, right? And so I ideally like to go with the prescription that I learned from Dr. Jack Cruz, I think has been really, really a great gold standard of 55 degrees for 20 minutes seems to be a very safe and decent time window to be in. That being said, for people that have more time, the more time you spend, the better the effect that you're going to get, right? And if people can tolerate colder temperatures, that's something that they may be willing to try at their own risk, though, right? But the thing is, you definitely want to make sure you're taking the proper precautions if you're getting in anything that's colder than 55 degrees, because you can go into shock if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, another thing that people don't realize, too, is that I always try to go back as an acupuncturist. I know that everything is rooted in nature and yin and yang in the universe, right? And I know that cold is synonymous with wintertime. That's synonymous with darkness. And when our hormonal cycles are taken into account, we know that that's synonymous with an increase in melatonin levels. And we know that that's synonymous with a decrease in our sexual hormones, right? During the wintertime, that's not when we're designed to procreate in nature. So what does that really mean? That means that less carbohydrates are also available in the wintertime as well. So for those that are consuming a ton of fruits, that are consuming a ton of sweet potatoes and squash this time of year, especially if they're not in season in your environment, right? If you're living at a higher latitude, like if you're up in Canada and places like that, you should pretty much be 100% ketonic right now if you're following the cycles of nature. And the more ketonic that you are, the more that you'll be able to adapt to the cold exposure, right? Because of the way that it helps you burn fat. So the more fat you can eat, the more carbs you can restrict yourself from, the more tolerant you'll be able to be whenever you get the cold exposure, and the better results you'll also get.
Perfect. So gold standard, I guess, then would be like northern latitudes, ketosis or fasted, 55 degrees Celsius or 55 degrees Fahrenheit, 20 minutes. That being said, I think people need to be aware of the fact that the coldest you're going to be is not while you're in the cold plunge, but actually after you get out of it. And that's what you're going to start to feel. It's like once you get out, you're going to notice that that might be when you start shivering.
Until after I jump out every time. I like get my face down in there and everything. And like when I get out and I'm standing on my deck in like 40 degrees with my bikini on wet, because I try to stay out there for a couple minutes before I put a towel on or anything, then I'm like, then I get the shiver and it's serious.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And it can be like legit. Like, as I was diving into this world of quantum biology, 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, I made my lips blue. Like I was like, ooh, that was not smart. Like I was like, oh, I can't. And so then what do? You take a warm shower, right? So like, listen to your body. I think if you're new to cold plunging or cold adaptation, it has to start small. There's no need to go gung ho right off the bat. So like, start small, start with warmer temperature, just to see how your body responds, see how you feel afterwards. That being said, I actually, being where I'm at in Michigan, when there's snow on the ground, I get a very similar effect of that feeling of I'm cold and my body needs to reheat from having the palms of my hand, the soles of my feet, and my forehead. I did post this to my story the other day, and my forehead touching snow until it's just uncomfortable, right? It's not crazy, but uncomfortable until I get that sensation of cold, because these particular, we have receptors on these particular parts of our body. It's called glabrous skin that senses the cold, will increase that norepinephrine, will activate the brown adipose tissue in a very similar way. So if you want to start even with something like that, that's perfectly acceptable too. So there's a lot of ways that we can experience the cold. Another thing I love to do is just go set out for a hike or a walk in as few clothes as possible. I always have boots on if it's snowing. I have gloves and I typically have a hat, right? Like I'm not stupid. I try to be smart. That being said, and I'll pack a couple of layers. But that being said, so I'll pack a couple of layers, and then if I get cold, I can always put stuff on. But otherwise, my goal is to expose where the brown adipose tissue lives, right? So we have a lot of it on the clavicle, on top of the collarbone. We have it on the back of the neck, in between the shoulder blades. So my goal is always to have like my hair up and like expose this. But what do most of us do when it's cold out? Yeah, scarf or a big old sweater, you know, one of those cowl neck sweaters and stuff. And it's like, okay, you know, we have to reframe. We're meant to feel the cold in our world when it's cold outside.
Yeah, totally a good point. You know, and that's why I think that I cannot wait to see the results that we get from the people going in a group fashion, right? Because we're not trying to get anyone onto buying any of our products. We don't have any stuff to sell. We're not involved in selling any products. We want people to learn how they can use the epigenetic inputs of nature to be able to reverse disease, right? Because nature works 100% of the time. You don't see any bald eagles or hippopotamus out there that are cancerous or obese, right? Because their software, their epigenetic programming is correctly input, right? So your problem, if you have a, you know, chronic fatigue, you have headache, you have this, and even if you have something like two drastic statements here, but all of the conditions that you have are more than likely software problem. And I want people to come to that realization that I'm not trying to convince you that I'm right. I'm trying to share the information of nature so that you can use it to benefit yourself and your family.
Yeah, that's why I'm just so on fire about both of you guys and what you're doing right now, because it's free. No one has to buy a supplement. Like, going outside in the winter is free, but there's ways you want to do it. And you guys have both worked so hard on your education so that if someone does have something like a chronic issue or a chronic stressor in their life, you know how to properly approach that with someone. So like Carrie said, you're not stupid about it. You don't hurt yourself, because I've over biohacked myself for sure. Burned myself with Asperity lamp before I could talk to Corey and figure out the right way to use Asperity lamp, because someone just said, get Asperity lamp. And then I burned the crap out of myself before I properly knew how to use the tool. So, you know, I guess speaking on that, what are some conditions where someone may not want to do cold therapy or may want to take it a little bit more gently, maybe just start with like a face dunk? What are some conditions where that someone would want to be careful?
You got it, Carrie.
So if you are already starting off in a very highly inflamed state, like you have a chronic condition, then you would want to go slow, and you would actually want to get into that ketosis state or closer. You cut your carbs, cut the crap, eat local, eat seasonal, eat what was there in your environment. If you can grow it, if you can hunt it, you can eat it in your current environment. Now, that being said, then also you're going to want to make, I like people to make sure that their sleep is really strong. I like people to, I like a lot of parameters in place, and then you start super small. So that could be a face dunk. And again, so that would be ice cold water, plug your nose, you know, stick your face in, hold your breath. You get the breath hold benefit too, right? And do that for as long as you can, and just repeat that multiple cycles. That stimulates something called the mammalian dive reflex in people. And that mammalian dive reflex is actually a very calming thing. It turns on our parasympathetic nervous system, our rest and relax nervous system. So if you're at all concerned, like if you get kind of anxious about this cold plunge thing, or if you think that you're in some sort of an excessively inflamed state, start there. You can also plunge your wrists. It's a very thin area. So I'll plunge the face, I'll plunge my wrists, and you can get a feel of what it feels like to get that calming sensation from the cold and start introducing cold into your life without necessarily, you know, the 50 degree, 20 minute cold plunge.
awesome. And do you think there's, I know, Corey, you just mentioned that you plunged last night and I plunge in the morning, but is there an optimal time of day for people that want to do plunging or cold therapy in general?
Oh, no, not necessarily. Realistically, any time that you have the time to get yourself cold, you get a tremendous benefit. The only thing is, I would say, you get a better bang for your buck when you do it in the wintertime because it doesn't cost you anything. You can really free. At least, you know, and where I live in Florida, it's really hard to get cold in the summertime. Even with ice, it melts so quickly. But you don't need to go into the water to do it, right? Realistically, you just take off all the clothes that you're wearing, right, that are inhibiting you from accessing a free healing mechanism, and you just get cold. You turn the heater off, and you embrace the season that you're in your latitude, where you live on the planet, right? Because that's the separation of your software epigenetic input. Your body doesn't know what season it is to be able to make sense of the software that it's trying to program itself. And it's a very, very complicated program. Let's go ahead and admit there's nothing more technologically advanced than our human bodies. Yeah. So that being said, there is no optimal time to try and do it. Anytime that you have the time, if you can get cold, you're going to get a huge benefit from doing it. What I would say, the best results definitely come from doing it during a fasted state, right? But there are many nuances to that people need to pay attention to, because if you're too fasted and you're getting in water that's too cold, right, that's going to make it a lot harder to tolerate that water. And if you're if you're not experienced, that can be something that can really, really put you into shock if you're in a fasted state and then you're inducing that type of stressor. But what I will say is that for most people, especially beginners, eating before you do cold therapy is probably a good idea. That way you're not having too much shock on the body. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is, even though you get better results from doing CBD in a fast state, you're going to increase fatty acid oxidation when you get into the cold, and you're going to start burning fat. But as soon as you eat, do CBD, you're going to turn off fat burning, right? So you're really putting the brakes on all of the work that you just put in. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
And so then to add on to that, just a touch, is that if you do feel the need to eat before or after, it can't be anything that really drives up insulin, because the whole point is to release the white fat so that it can be burned. So that is where you want to eat something that is more of just a pure fat. Like I'll take a scoopful of butter if I love butter, so I don't think that's gross, but that would be like an ideal thing to consume either before or after, so that you're not driving up insulin an insane amount. Just from clinical experience with my clients, though, I have noticed that a lot of people have enjoyed cold before bed, because it can create that such a parasympathetic state, and it also creates some pretty deep sleep for some of them. So that can be something that people can try and play around with. And I want to throw out there that if people are hesitant, there is such thing as hot cold contrast. I mean, we don't have to go in there, but like I said, you can bounce back and forth between hot and cold, and still get a really good effect. It's a little bit different, but it's just kind of about playing around with a beneficial stressor to your body. You know, similar to a sauna, it's a beneficial stressor to your body. And so that hot cold can act in the same way, and you can get some really cool effects from that too.
Awesome. Well, I know you guys have to head in just a little bit. Do we have time to talk about haplotype, or do you want to table it and maybe do another talk sometime soon?
Yeah, I think we can go with it really quickly. Why not?
Sure.
So, figure out what your mitochondrial haplotype is. If you have done a 23andMe test, you can find the information there called your maternal haplotype on there. And for most people that are in the United States, and actually for majority of the world, you're more than likely a Northern European haplotype, meaning your and your mitochondrial ancestral line had been exposed to harsh winters, and you have the within your genetic framework the adaptive capability to withstand deeper, colder environments for a period of time in a year, right? The exception to that would be coupled haplotypes or the equatorial region haplogroups. So that would be people that don't have that genetic adaptation, and their ancestral line is within the tropics, 20 degrees and north and south. So for those people, you're really going to struggle with CT, right? And I say that from experience because I myself am an L2, meaning I am an equatorial haplotype, right? And so if you ask anyone that understands mitochondrial biology, they would tell me, yeah, don't even try and do too much CT, right? It's what Dr. Cruz told me a couple of years back. He said, because you're just going to struggle with that. And, you know, nevertheless, I have struggled with CT, and it is a huge challenge for me. But, you know, I don't have the ability to cold adapt, but I still do it, right? I still expose myself to cold because I am living at the latitude that has a winter time. And so I personally believe that, you know, the more that I can embrace my environmental signals, the better that I'll be able to overcome my challenges metabolically going forward.
Yeah, that's great, Corey. The for those of you who are just new to the word haplotype, it just means variation, right? A mitochondrial variation. And so that then ties this back, though, also to even if your mitochondria, when we've got mitochondria from a northern latitude, right, that means that they were exposed to the winter and they had to do something called uncouple. They had to make that heat for us. We had to get this heat generation. Now, you still may have, or you may reap the benefits of cold therapy that don't involve those mitochondria making heat for us. You could get that norepinephrine boost and really feel focused and awesome. You could get that parasympathetic response to help enhance your sleep or your stress or your anxiety level. So again, like Corey was saying, just because he has an L2 haplotype and I'm a J, I can do cold therapy all day long, right? Yeah, right. I can do cold therapy all day long and I get a really good benefit from it. But I think just because Corey's an L doesn't mean that he's not getting a benefit. And I think, as someone said, maybe it was Kelly who said in the comments, that there is something about building resilience when you do something that makes you feel uncomfortable. So in a safe way, pushing yourself to feel uncomfortable, you build resilience. And that resilience translates to better immune system function. It translates to better stress response all across the board. So you can still get a benefit from the cold if you're interested in trying.
Yeah, Kelly. I love it. On that course too, and if I'm not mistaken, Sarah, you're gonna be there, aren't you?
Yep, I'm gonna do it. I'm committing now.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing me on here today, and I'm really glad to hear both of you guys talk. You know, Carrie, you really spit out some bombs there. I appreciate it.
Likewise, Corey. I always have fun chatting with you, man.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And those of you watching, Carrie, Corey are doing an amazing course. It's a 6-week course starting in January. It is all of this stuff and so much more. How to get your body functioning properly by using stuff that's free. No supplements. It is all about getting outside nature and learning how to kind of biohack yourself using nature. And I'm so excited to learn more from you guys. I've already learned so much. And yeah, this has been super, super awesome. Any closing thoughts?
No, just grateful, Sarah. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, I know that we're ketonic right now. Yeah, I haven't eaten any carbs. I'm going to eat some pork and bok choy after I get off this call. That way I go back to my patients. But I want to say, just because we're not eating carbs right now, don't let anybody tell you that carbs are bad. Because I don't have any carbs. Actually, I love carbs. And come summertime, I'm going to eat a crap ton of carbs all day long.
It's all about learning how to work with your latitude, work with the seasons, and work with what's best for your body. It's, you know, there's no carbs out right now where I live. You can't get them anywhere, but come summer, it's a different story, right?
Exactly.
That's so true.
Yeah, whenever there's carbs available in my latitude, I eat more of them than anyone I know combined.
Awesome, Corey.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for this. I'm going to put it on YouTube in the next few days, and so everyone can listen to it there and possibly out on my podcast also. So there'll be a replay coming up soon. So thank you guys for being here. And yeah.
All right. Love
you. Thank you, Sarah. Have a good one. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that bonus episode all about cold therapy. Now I'm going to be waiting for all of you guys to start tagging me when you start trying your cold therapy. I want to see those cold plunges. Or if you're just trying to dunk your face or your wrist, I want to see that too. Take a picture, tag me, tag Carrie, tag Corey. We absolutely would love to see you trying this stuff out and then hear how it works for you. I am just really enjoying it in my own life so much. So I am so excited to keep sharing all of this with you guys. As I mentioned in the very beginning, there is a course that Carrie and Corey are doing in January 2022 that I highly, highly recommend. I am taking it myself. I've made the investment to take that course because I believe that this is the way we get to heal, that food is very important. I have a very extensive background in nutrition and will continue to leverage that, but I want more of this quantum healing and I want to add more of it into my regimen, to my clients' regimen, and so the more I can learn, the better. So make sure you head on over to Carrie and Corey's website to check out how to sign up for the course. And let us know, tag us in your stories on Instagram if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more like it, or if there is questions that you have that have come out of this episode, please feel free to shoot me a message and we will see if we can do another episode soon. All right, guys, hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I will catch you in the next episode.